Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor of the Pre-Market Prep website. Now, Joel, shortened trading week because yesterday was a day off or markets closed for the U.S. markets. And we're starting off the week, as it is Tuesday now, on a positive note for U.S. equity markets. The S&P is up over 2.25%. The Dow is up off of its highs, but still up 500 points. The NASDAQ, that's up almost 3% right now. So again, a nice start to the week, but I really can't get over just how much sentiment has changed for investors and quite frankly, for everything I'm reading out there where every bounce, it seems to be the consensus that people are saying this is nothing more than a dead cat bounce. This is a bear market rally. And undoubtedly, the markets are going to roll over and head back to test some of the recent lows. It's such a different shift than what we've seen really in the last decade that I really don't think people know how to handle it because they're so negative broadly on these markets, even when you start the week off strongly like we are here. Joel, what's your takeaway mostly from the sentiment and just how much everyone has shifted to the bearish, pessimistic side?
Good afternoon, Corey. Thanks for having me. I think you kind of like had the perfect storm, right? Because you had the big expiration on, the big triple witch expiration. So a lot of contracts, you know, went off the board. And then you had a 3-day weekend here, and strange things seem to happen in the futures markets over these 3-day weekends. There's lower liquidity. It's easier to move the markets, the futures markets. And basically, it started out pretty benign on Sunday night, and they got it going right. You had a nice technical setup with two closes right near the low of the move from Thursday and Friday, and everyone was just pretty complacent. You get the futures moving Sunday night. They stay open Monday until 1 p.m. They continued to take it up, and then I think when you had a lot of traders prepared, you know, off the morning was like, oh, what a gift. You know, what a gift rally is. We're going right back down to Friday's low. So the people that, you know, didn't get caught short over, you know, or didn't short over the week, you know, come in short or try and short overnight, they're like, hey, this is stealing candy from a baby. And Mr. Marcus said, not so fast, and rallied. The S&P's rallied almost 50 handles from the open. So a far above average range day. Got the, you know, the bears leaning the one way, and boom, you have a nice rally. Now we got to look forward. Is this a dead? Can we hold today's gains? Is this a dead cat bounce? Right now, it's a bear market rally until otherwise notified.
Yeah, that is true. One thing to note too, at least on the daily chart, there are a couple gaps that at least the S&P put in. Last week, or no, about a week and a half ago now, on June 10th and June 11th, those could easily be filled. But again, those aren't taking us back up to any new break above recent high or lower highs. Any thoughts on those gaps there, Joel, and if those might just be the stopping point?
Well, you see, you're talking to a guy that watched the 24-hour markets, so there's only one for me. Based on my, you know, methodology, there's only one gap in there, and that is from last Friday to Monday. The spider, of course, has their own gaps because, you know, they're not open the full time. So we are nowhere near, filling that gap. And we're just getting back some of the damage that we had before. So we're over 100 points away from, in order to fill the gap, the S&P is currently trading at 37.64. On my chart, the gap is between 38.78 and 38.96.50. So you're, in order to really, truly fill that gap, you need a 130-point rally. I mean, today is a nice start, but it just doesn't feel like that gap's going to be filled anytime soon.
Also, the aspect that this is early on in the week, any significance there, Joel?
Yeah, it's just yeah, it's just it is early in the week. You have things, you know, the weekly, you know, right now looking at things on a weekly basis. You know, you're in a bullish mode to start the week, and that was because of what happened Sunday. You know, who knows if there would have been normal markets, you know, on Sunday and Monday, where we would be. But it's a good start to the week, and you can't fight it, right? Well, you can. You might lose money, but we'll just see. I mean, we had a bad week last week, a bad week the week before. Market always tend to have, you know, counter moves, and this is one of those counter moves. I'd be interested to see what the volume is going to be today compared to you know, the volume that you had at the end of last week with the expirations. And if this, you know, if it's just a little light volume rally here, then you better be on your toes, because I think that that's something that we talked about when I was on a few weeks ago and we were having a little bit of a rally. The big volume was on the down days. Now, you know, you may have some, you know, oh, I missed the low, some people buying and backing and filling here, but just feels like, you know, there's more offers out there, people trying to get out than, you know, rushing to build new positions here.
Yeah, it really does. And we have talked about that. The up days, lower volume. The down days seem to have some of the higher volume days. Final comment on sentiment, though, because everybody seems to be in the camp of saying that these markets are going to keep going lower, I'm not hearing the outcry that you usually do or that we have in the past from media, from different well-known investors saying the Fed needs to step in, the Fed needs to save these markets. I guess the Fed, maybe they've told us that they're okay with these markets moving lower, but it again, that seems a little bit different in the sense that everyone's sitting back saying, okay, we are going lower. The Fed's taking us lower, and we're not shouting at them to change course.
Yeah, I mean, if the Fed put, you know, that was there for years on end, is no longer there, and they, you know, they targeted 2% inflation, and we quadrupled that, so. You know, that's a big thing, and you know, of course, the discussion, you know, leads, you know, are they doing too much? Is it going to slow? We're going to go into a recession, and recession leads to depression and whatnot. But yeah, the Fed made it pretty clear where the future course of interest rates are going, and you know, there's going to have to be some real. First, you got to see a turn in that CPI. I mean, we've been talking about it, you know, for a long time. You know, when is there going to be some better numbers? And we got to wait till the middle of July before we're going to get our next reading. And of course, you get some earnings season, which, you know, you've already had some major companies tell you they've already guided lower that, hey, things aren't going to be so peachy keen. So, those are the catalysts coming up. You know, can we have a good earnings season? And, you know, what's that next CPI number going to be?
Yeah, that's the other problem with these markets, or maybe not a problem, but we're kind of in that period where, yeah, we're waiting for more inflation data, and that's going to be weeks away. And then there's another Fed meeting for another 5.5 weeks. So again, the markets have this little bit of freedom maybe to move in a direction that they haven't been before. That being said, Joel, let's talk about energy, because energy took it on the chin at the tail end of last week. We still have crude at 110, but it was at 120 for most of last week. Do you see the energy component starting to finally pull back?
A little bit, a little bit. I mean, you know, that move up over 120, you know, got things a little tilted to the long side, and you know, just a little bit too much momentum. You know, people breaking 120, we're going to 130. With the rolling front month contract, it just missed it. Actually, it pretty darn close. Based on the rolling front month contract, you had a high of 123.61 back in March. It got to 121.46, so it got within a couple bucks of that. And then the momentum was lost. You know, you had your momentum buyers turned into momentum sellers. But it's interesting, if you know, if you're trading these oil stocks here, and I'm just gonna give you a quick example here with ExxonMobil. I mean, this is what you want to be looking for. I mean, first of all, you had to take into account the unbelievable run that these stocks had, right? ExxonMobil began the year around $58. You got over $105. I mean, that stock just doesn't move like that. Then you had your decline, took it close to 85 and a half. So you're looking for a bounce here. What you want to do is, and it's getting a good bounce today, what's going to be important for this Exxon Mobil is to, you know, get back half of that move. You know, get back to 96. That's $5 away. Establish a bid there. Establish that it can hold that area. And then, you know, do your work and then, you know, try and get back up to the 100. The thing is now that, you know, since it was at 105 and then it went down to 85, you know, you're going to have, it's going to be a different complexion in the market. So a lot of people will say, hey, I'm not going to miss my chance to sell this at 99 again. I'm not going to miss my chance to sell at 100 again. So a little different market by dynamics. We'll see if it's a one-day bounce here, which you're getting today, or what, you know, whether it was just another buy the dip opportunity in these stocks that are just leading the markets this year by a wide margin.
Now that's an interesting concept, is that could there be buy the dip in a sector, one sector that seems to be outperforming when the rest of the market is sell the rip?
In this market, anything can happen, Corey.
I guess that's where we are standing right now. Another point that I want to bring up, something you brought up to me off mic, deals with Cathie Wood and the ARK Fund. So again, very technology growth focused here. The recent sell-off, you noted to me that the ARK Fund did not make a new low on that move. What's the significance in your eyes here?
You know, you're waiting, you know, waiting for technology to, you know, to turn, growth tech to turn. You had a low back when the market bottomed before at 35.10, an ARK innovation ETF last week. And it wasn't even when the S&Ps bottomed. This actually, ARK actually bottomed on Tuesday, 50 cents above that at 35.65. So when the rest of the market was getting tattered on Thursday and Friday, Thursday it got hit, but did get lower the move. And then when the S&Ps actually made the low for the move on Friday, I never even saw its closing price of 36.98. So there's some room in here, just, you know, on a relative strength basis. But you also got to take into account, you know, how tarred and feathered that thing had been since it peaked last February at 160. So trying to find some reasons to be optimistic.
You carry that over to the NASDAQ, though. NASDAQ is still continuing to trend lower and now is at, I believe, the 200-week moving average and, well, testing that one out. Do you think tech is dead then, or do you think that ARK Innovations here gives you a little bit of hope that it's not dead?
It gives me a little bit of hope that it's not dead. Yeah.
You know what? A little bit of hope in these markets is better than a lot of people have, though. But something we do need to consider because, again, everybody has gotten so bearish. Not saying that we're ending the bear market here, but everybody does seem to be on that side of the ship. And we haven't seen everybody on that side of the ship in decades. Joel, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. Always enjoyable chatting with you. We'll chat again next week. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, thank you.